Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to everyone to this first Resources Scrutiny Committee of the new administration. So, nice to see you here, and congratulations on your cabinet position. Right, so we'll start with, first of all, the minutes of the 28th of February. There were one or two people here at the time. Councillor James.
Approved, Mr. Chairman.
Seconded. You here as well? Okay. Okay. All those in favour of the minutes?
Well, we don't have an auction, do we?
No. If you're happy, I'm happy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll move on to apologies.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Nixon, who is substituted tonight by Councillor Hobbs, and also apologies from Councillor Jones, who hasn't appointed a substitute.
Okay, thank you. Public question time?
There are nil.
Councillor session?
Nil.
Called in items?
Nil.
Members' items?
And also nil.
Fantastic. I cannot say it's fantastic, but considering the warmth of the night, we want to sort of press on. We'll move on to, please, item number 7, which is officers' reports, and we'll start with item number 7A, which is quarter 4 and the year-end performance report for 2022-23. We've got Judith Orpers, who is the head of transformation and assurance. Would you like to give a report on that?
Thank you, Chair. So this report sets out the course of January 22-23. It sets out the progress that's been made in delivering the Council's priorities for climate change and the priority around the Inverawatha Council. Generally, it's a very positive story. 100% of the actions that were planned to be delivered have either been delivered in totality or are on progress, on target, to be delivered on time. I would just like to draw members' attention to the table at 5.3, which kind of summarises against the two priorities, and actually to apologise if there is an error in the line around the council. It does say that there are three actions that were on target, but in reality there were only two, so apologies for that. But so that shows you progress against climate change. The vast majority of the actions are still work in progress, but I say they are on target. The detail of those is then set out in appendices 1 and 2. I'm not quite familiar with the climate change one, so you'll have to forgive me, but the one that has been completed in full is the audit of the council's carbon footprint. That was published in November, and there is further work underway now to do the same sort of exercise for the 22-23 data, and that's expected over the summer. So, I won't comment on all of them. If I move on to the other priority around the Inverawatha Council and just cover off then the action there that's been completed, that's largely around the budget effective. So the council has got a detailed budget for this year and going forward. But I'm happy to take any questions on the other items.
Okay. Could I make a general comment that has been made to me by other councillors, and this is really one for Judith, and that's around the reporting, just saying work on target or ongoing. In particular, it's a fairly open statement, ongoing. It doesn't say good, bad, indifferent, or give us any targets or aspirations. And I think Councillor Pert as well has been approached on this one. It's not really good enough to just have ongoing. What are your thoughts on my statement?
It's something we're looking at for the delivery plans for 23-24, so we will look to wherever we can put more specific target data. Generally, the way I've worked those is giving you a quarter in which we've completed by, in the course of 1 or 2 quarters, rather than a finite date. Certain actions we can put that on, but generally I think we put a quarter, because we tend to report to the committee quarterly. But yes, we'll look to do that for the committee first, the delivery plans for 23-24.
Yeah, okay, fantastic. So we'll go through the reports page by page, and then if anyone wants to say anything, please indicate. I think we start on page 7.
Yes.
Roy.
It's just general Salix. Salix finance application. What's Salix stand for? Or what is it?
I have to confess that I don't know the answer to that one. I will have to find out for you. I think there are a number of acronyms that we'll look to eliminate as we go forward. So.
Presumably, Chair, the committee would be happy with a written response to all members of the committee.
Yeah, as is the case, I was just going to cover that one. Okay, page 8.
Electric charging
points, is that correct?
No.
page 9. Chairman, if I could please, speaking of acronyms, we've got up there at the top 3.4.1 HS2 BIF. Can you tell me what that means, please, Chair? Top of the page. Business.
Yes, I've got it.
Business infrastructure.
There are several funds that HS2 are taking forwards around transport, green agenda and business. I'm not sure exactly which one that is, but I think when that letter comes about acronyms, could you make sure that that's added into it?
It's a business infrastructure.
Could it be business, or could it be biodiversity?
Yeah, I've just had confirmation it is Business Infrastructure Fund.
Chairman, we really need to know what that is then, don't we? Explain to us what it is.
What, the Business Infrastructure Fund?
I haven't got time to do that.
I would suggest that as it's been brought up by one of the members, a brief précis of what the Business Infrastructure Fund is, who our partners are on it, which I presume would be Chamber of Commerce and possibly the LEP, if the LEP still exists in its current form, and get that out to members so they know what's going on. Anything else on page 9?
Just a question as to when will the local plan be published? Do we know yet? Do we have any due date there?
I don't believe there is any. It's early days yet, in a sense, isn't it?
The local. I think it's quite pertinent to fiscal delivery from the council. Can we please have I would suggest that we actually ask the question that's just been asked of the administration as to what point the local plan is at. If only the fact that a lot of manifestos mention the local plan, and we need to know where we are. Okay. Sorry to give you more action. There you go. Page 10.
Chair, could I just make the point that it's a little bit difficult to have a tick in that box on 3.4.3 when we don't have a plan.
The local plan.
when we don't have a local plan, how can we have a tick in the box that we're working to it?
So, Chair, we do have a local plan. What we're doing is preparing the next local plan, and it's following a schedule in its development.
We do have an old local plan,
yes.
I believe, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
But isn't it the new local plan that we're talking about?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what, just to clarify from the Chair, exactly what the Chief Executive just said. We have got a local plan in place until 2040, I think, is it? But the new local plan which supersedes that is in the process of being put together. But I think the point is quite well made. Because we're a new administration, we need to know at what point we are in that local plan. Is that correct, Chief Exec?
Well, we're at the preferred option stage, Chair, and of course the timetable beyond that will in part depend on what the outcome of the consultation on the preferred options stage is, but I'm going to let the Economic Development and Planning Committee.
Yes, we're
looking at that.
We are sort of impinging on their bailiwick, but there you go.
Chair, if I could just add, at the end date of 3.4.3 will be the adoption of the new local plan. So there is an end date, it's an indeterminate end date at the moment, but we know that will happen at some point in the future with the adoption of the new local plan. And therefore, 3.4.3 will then be delivered, come to pass, whatever.
Yeah. Doesn't it exactly say that in the paperwork, does it? Yes.
If it's
on page 10, yes.
Yeah. So the 4.2 talks about integrating the policy objectives into everything we do. I find it useful in the commentary where there is no policy potential impact of some of these deliverables to have that kind of commented on the policy commentary. So, for example, if there was something where we were talking about opportunity for further shared services, if there was no policy objective as part of that piece of deliverable, to have that as part of the commentary, just as front of mind. So, we're not seeing anything that talks about integrating the policy objectives. However that might look, if there is no obvious equality impact in there, then that doesn't fine. But where there might be, it would be good to just have that as a fact when we're doing this.
Normally, Chair, the policies, kind of position statement would be included in the business section for the implications a bit further on. But no, I take the point, it's kind of this and specific that we're doing, I'll make sure there's commentary in the report.
Well, it's not relevant, this one. That's just,
okay, and 11 is just a continuation of that paragraph.
Has the person been appointed or not?
Sorry?
Has the person been appointed yet?
Not as yet.
Not as yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. So we've going back to the recommendation. That the progress made during 2023 is delivered in the delivery of the Council's priorities as set out in Appendices 1 and 2 be noted and relevance is given to the comments being made.
So noted, Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Yep.
All okay with that? Okay. Item 7B, complaints monitoring. As before, Ian, do you want to give a quick report?
Yes, sir. So this is an annual report, but for Resources Scrutiny Committee. The main purpose is so that you can monitor the number of complaints year on year for each department. So the main bit is encompassed in 501.3. So comparing the last municipal year, 2022-23, with the previous year, we're slightly up on the number of complaints to give you a breakdown of the departments. I think the department where there has been a noticeable increase is development. I can say that a lot of those decisions A lot of those complaints were challenges to the decisions itself, which is not what the corporate complaints process is for. But obviously some would be related to performance of the service. What I will say as well in the report is a highlight that there will be a change to the corporate complaints process that just started from this April. In the past, we didn't actually record the nature of complaints that were dealt with at stage one by the individual departments. And we feel that it's probably more useful for us to understand what complaints are being dealt with at that stage than it is for us to just know that it was escalated to the head of service and then reviewed by the chief exec. Also, with the three-stage complaint system, it does put an inordinate amount of resource issues on the leadership team, the head of service and the chief exec, often duplicating the effort. The complainants aren't always satisfied with waiting for that third stage, and they really want, if it's not been resolved at the head of service, they really tend to want to go to the ombudsman. So there isn't a great deal of experience of the chief executive review actually resolving complaints or acting to the benefit of the complainants. And looking at other local authorities, especially around Staffordshire, they mainly deal with the two-stage complaint process. And as your leadership team is shared now, I can't say that Cannock Chase Council does actually follow the two-stage, so it fits in quite nicely if all our services are using the same complaints process. So for next year, we'll report on stage one and stage two, rather than stage two and stage three, if that makes sense. It also has an appendix which states the complaints that went to the local ombudsman, and you'll see that there are slight errors in the numbers of reports you've probably spotted. There were 12 in the last year that went before the ombudsman, 10 were not upheld as those 12. We were waiting for the decisions on two, but just before the report was first drafted and it's come before you, we've obviously got a decision on one, and that was upheld. And we're still awaiting the decision on the other one. So, leave it to you, Chair, if members have any questions.
Could I ask for the panel, when you say upheld, for one of the decisions was upheld, what does that mean exactly?
Let me just jump to the reason, because there's a number of criteria that the ombudsman will use. Maladministration and injustice. It's on the public website from the ombudsman. It's to do with a planning matter where a hedgerow wasn't found in the right location. There was a bit of a to and fro about asking or dealing with the owner of a hedgerow, and it was up to remove the hedgerow. So the report's on the public
arena. Yeah, so the complainants were there. A complaint was upheld by the ombudsman.
Well, so it was found that the council officers could have dealt with that.
Right. Okay. Thank you. We're obviously going to go through it page by page. I've got a couple of concerns of mine, but we'll start with page 13. And page 14. Now, if no one's got anything to say on those two pages, I'd like to just highlight the fact that, as was mentioned, the number of complaints, particularly in development control, are they've doubled over the year, and I understand that some of the reasons are superfluous, but I think it's something this committee really has got to look at over the next two or three years to see if we've got an improvement in that number of complaints, as in reducing. It's something that I've experienced as a councillor, and I'm sure other people have, that there have been a certain amount of dissatisfaction from residents as to development control. So I'll be watching it, as I'm sure the rest of the committee will, and we'll look forward to the next report on that. And the second one, again, as chair, please forgive me for bringing things forwards as chair, but I am surprised that we've got no process to escalate this to the chief executive. I understand what's been said and stage one and two, and then the ombudsman, but there are certain cases and certain residents or groups of residents who do value the input from the chief executive. So it's really one for the administration whether they feel comfortable with this or not. But I'm just flagging up that if you would please.
So the stage three part of the complaints process, and you'll correct me if I get this wrong, is to review the response that complainants had received from head of service and to make sure that the response that they'd got had addressed the issue that they were complaining about and whether the response was reasonable. It was not to reinvestigate the complaint or to challenge whether the answer was right. It was to check whether it was a reasonable response. Having done this for a number of years since the complaint system was last overhauled, what I found was that we tended to get the more complex complaints where the complainant there had been a considerable exchange of written views about the complaint. Sometimes the complaints were vexatious, sometimes there was just a disagreement about the issue. And I found almost without exception, I think there was probably one occasion where I went back and asked head of service to think here, but almost without exception over a period of at least 4 years, that actually the processes had been followed well. It was just that the complainant disagreed with the outcome of the complaint as carried out by the head of service. It took an inordinate amount of time to review all of the correspondence often, and Ian helped me with some of this when we were particularly busy, particularly when we were doing the shared services business planning part of the process. But there was only one occasion I can remember, or perhaps two, where we changed, asked the head of service to go back and look at it again. So it didn't add a great deal of value. It did add a deal of time in terms of the complainants having to wait. And of course, I took over as chief executive of County Chase District Council during this period as well, who ran a two-stage complaint, and I found comparing the two that there was very little to be gained from having stage three. So I asked Ian as monitoring officer to look at the two complaints processes again and see if we could streamline it. Because clearly what the complainants who were never going to be satisfied with the response they got wanted to do was to go to the ombudsman. And all we were doing was holding them up in their wish to do that. Ian, if I may chair, ask Ian whether he wants to add anything to that.
Just to add, as part of the process, we realise that the important thing is that we learn from any findings, yes, of any complaint, really. So it's where the stages do find that there's lessons to be learned. We do intend for the process to allow for that to be reported to the leadership team, which involves the chief exec and all the leadership team, so the main work we can learn complaints being made.
Yeah,
Chair, finally, what this doesn't do is preclude anybody from contacting or writing to me if they have a concern about a service. And indeed, I dealt with a service. Somebody had concerns about a service only this week and asked an officer to look at a situation again. So I'm not cutting myself off from it, but I think as part of a formal part of the complaints process, it didn't add a great deal of value.
Right, that was the bit I wanted to hear. So, because I think it would be disingenuous to the electorate not to have some form of route to the chief executive. Obviously, it'd be more important, more useful if they came through members. But there are people out there, we've all met them, who want to speak to the chief executive.
And where members bring an issue of concern to me, I'm always follow that through. And you know, the example I mentioned that happened day before yesterday, I spent 14 minutes listening to somebody's, you know, concern about an issue. wrote back and acknowledged the issues that they raised, dealt with their piece of long piece of correspondence they sent to me, spoke to the officer for a period of time and asked her to go away and look at the additional information we provided. So, you know, take that seriously.
Okay, thank you very much. Does the committee want to, Angela?
Thank you, Tim. I think, you know, that as councillors, we probably can quite commiserate with you because we get used to people telephoning us and they go on and on and on and on and on and they don't even care what we're saying to them. You know, very often they're just not interested, they're more interested in what they themselves have to say. And I'm quite sure that the chief executive does in fact approach those complaints with the same integrity and the importance that we as councillors do with our complainants. That's the first point I want to make. The second thing I want to make is what we have to bear in mind is that we're actually talking about this a big increase in the number of complaints. That actually did occur last year. That was between April 22 and April 23. And whilst it's good that we are in fact being told of this large increase in complaints, we must not lose sight of the fact that that has already happened. And we know that with the conscientiousness that our officers in the Cabinet have then, this will be being addressed. But we mustn't lose sight of the fact that we're not talking about it's happening now, we're talking about it happened until April of this year. We're now into a new year, and I'm quite sure that we can see an improvement during 2023-24. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, I do hope that we all feel that would be a good place for residents if we could just get that number, even if we got back somewhere close to where they were historically. Okay, so page 15 and page 16 is standard impact, and we've been asked to note the report. I think we've done that.
Mr. Chairman, note the report, please.
Okay, thank you. And we'll move on to item 7C, business planning report, again, Head of Law and Governance.
Thank you, Chairman. So this is an annual report which this committee submits to Council, just outlining the business that was actually transacted in the previous year, so the Council is fully aware of all the screening business that was previously conducted. So that's just a summary of what has already happened. And if the committee are happy with that, that will be reported to the next council meeting.
Chair,
I suggest it goes forward. We do have the previous chairman of the committee, and I'm sure if he disagreed with this, he would have already noted it. It's a standard report and should go to Council.
Okay. Angela?
Yeah, just one point I want to make sure is being acted upon. On page 23, 5.4, we are told that under a councillor item that we would be drafting and implementing a menopause policy on how to approach menopause in our workplace to support our staff. And at that meeting, I was actually present there, and I can remember that, in fact, Tracy was going to undertake that piece of work. And with Tracy having left, I do hope that there has been another officer appointed to take on that piece of work, and that it's not going to fall off the agenda, fall off the table. Could I have some kind of assurance from one of these people who are here tonight that it's going to be...
Does Judith want to...
Yes, Chair, I'll give an assurance that that piece of work will be followed through. As I understand it, I think we're waiting on a national piece of work. I'll just check where we're at with that and I'll make sure that we get that one up on the entire work programme.
Thank you, Chair. I just didn't want it to fall off the table. Thank you very much.
Well, you can always take it up with a Cabinet member, can't you? Okay.
Sorry, Chair, I understand, of course, that you will be the one to present this report.
Yes,
at the council meeting.
That's the normal way of it. I'll be quite proud to do it, actually, because it's a very good report.
Yeah, of course it is.
I wouldn't have believed you'd been listening to me tonight.
Right, we'll move on to the work programme. We have got a calendar of which I'm sure we'll build on as the year progresses. Is there much to say on this? I don't know whether it's...
I think Ian's going to confuse us.
Ian, is it? Yeah.
Well, this is a standard item. It's on every scrutiny committee for members to input and devise their own work programme. This is the first meeting. It gives you an overview of what's already on the work programme. It can be added to throughout the year. And initially, that's what we already know is on the programme. And leave it open to discussion if there's any comments members wish to say at this stage.
No?
As a newbie on this particular committee, it would be useful to have an overview of the remit of this committee, if that were possible. Is that possible?
It's in the Constitution, I think.
Yeah,
Constitution.
Could you guide me towards that?
Certainly can.
Thank you.
Can I ask for all of us to be guided? I just wonder if it might be helpful for all members to have the current remit of the resources group.
Got it.
A remit for all committees, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. We would all like to know what we're doing in these committees.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Don't keep saying it's in the Constitution, please. I don't have time. I've more in my life to sit spending reading every page of the Constitution.
I'm shocked.
I think if I was sent a remit as to what my duties and responsibilities are for each of the committees, I can do that. I can read that at my leisure. Well, I don't have much time for leisure, but never mind, I'll put it in.
Can I make a plea as chair and it's a very good point, thank you for bringing it up, that it's actually circulated to all members, not just members of this committee. The reason being, I think scrutiny, I attended scrutiny previously, and it did tend to sort of overlap issues, so it would be interesting, it would be nice to know what exactly each scrutiny committee should be covering and which cabinet member is over that item. Roy.
Section 4 of the Constitution, overview and scrutiny. Right, it goes through each of the scrutiny committees and gives them exactly what they are responsible for. So it's section 4, and if you want to know the page number, I will give you that as well.
I love a smart aleck.
No, it's just you asked the question, councillor, and I gave you the answer. It's 3.13.
Do you have the time?
Okay, Ian?
I can clarify that by email, so I'll
Yes.
Sorry about that particular can of words.
No. It's something that
we love can of words.
It's something we've discussed that we need to ensure that scrutiny is laser sharp where it needs to be laser sharp and not sort of like a scattergun approach. Okay, thank you for that. In terms of the work programme, then, if members feel there's something that does need to go onto the work programme, please submit your ideas to be sort of talked about at the next meeting. It is important that it's our work plan, our work programme, and not one that's just foisted upon us by the powers that be. So thank you very much. Okay, could I ask that this report be noted?
Noted, Mr. Chairman.
And we've done well an hour, and say thank you all for attending under slightly warm conditions, and look forward to the next meeting. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.